Welcome to the Speed Trap Podcast. I'm Betsy.
And I'm Sophie. Join us weekly to stay updated on the latest racing news.
And to hear our thoughts and opinions on each topic.
And today, we're talking about the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix.
In Sector 1, we discussed the Jeddah missile strike, Sergio Perez's amazing pole position, and what happened to Lewis Hamilton.
So, Saudi Arabia, once again, delivers in a way we do not want it to.
Yes.
Starting off this entire weekend with none other than a missile attack. Near the track, very near the track.
Yeah, 10 miles from the circuit, or less than 10 miles from the circuit, which is scarily close. Like, if you were on social media at all, you could see, like, teams members, like, posting, and journalists posting videos and photos from their hotel rooms of the explosion and the fire and things like that. So,
smoke.
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah, not great.
Do you remember Formula E? I think it was last year that something similar happened, and we talked about it on our podcast. Yeah.
It wasn't as close, though. It was, like,
no,
closer to Yemen, but
it was the same war. Yeah. And
yeah,
it really makes you question, like, how is there such a double standard in Formula One? And just in the world in general, but, you know, specifically Formula One we're talking about, where last week they're wearing no war t-shirts in Bahrain to support Ukraine, and this week they're in Saudi Arabia, 10 miles from a missile strike, in a war with Yemen, you know?
It's ironic, to say the least, I guess. But you're absolutely right. There's a lot of politics there that we could go into, but let's not, because we could do that.
We did do an episode,
but yeah,
though.
I think the important point here...
Do you want me to...
Are you gone?
Okay. We did do an episode a while ago about specifically the politics of certain countries on the calendar that Formula One races in, if you are interested. I think it was called Power and Politics. I think it was an Information Lap episode. And we talked not just about Saudi Arabia, but I think Qatar was what, being added to the calendar permanently, was what triggered that episode topic for us, right? Because we wanted to discuss countries that have very blatant human rights issues, I guess you could say, to put it mildly. And I mean, Saudi Arabia, just, I think it was literally last week, was like, yeah, we beheaded 81 people in one day today, publicly announcing that, just to let you guys know. And it was like, okay, so this is what's going on, huh? Like, it's all very much obvious what's happening. It's clearly financial. But Stefano Domenicali, he was interviewed about it, on the British coverage, at least. I don't know if he interviewed elsewhere, but in the British coverage, which for Sky and the pre-race package, they interviewed him and asked him about, you know, how responsible is it to race in a country like Saudi Arabia when a missile strike has just happened and the drivers are boycotting or threatening to boycott? Because I believe they had a meeting after free practice where they were like, we don't want to race because we have security concerns, we're not here, we don't feel safe, we want to go home, blah blah blah. And a lot of team members were the same, but the team principals, and in partnership with, like, the FIA and stuff, had a unanimous decision to continue racing because they were assured by Saudi Arabian authorities that they were safe and that the circuit was the safest place to be at the time. No, go ahead.
Sorry. I mean, that's the biggest thing to me, is that the drivers, as we heard, the drivers were unanimously united and thinking that it was unsafe and not wanting to continue the race weekend, which I think is really important that they just said, nah. You're going to race. And if you don't, you might not be able to get out of the country.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that was the rumor going around, right? Is like they wouldn't, there were rumors going around that the official government officials were threatening to not let them leave if they didn't continue the race. But I think that turned out to be a false rumor. But still, for it to be something that sounded factual is worrying, right? If we're racing in countries where even the thought of something like that could happen. So, not to dismiss that claim, but apparently it's not true. But still,
okay.
The fact that it sounds like it could be true is like concerning, you know?
Yeah, because you don't know like what threats are actually on the table in those
because
spaces.
Actually,
I don't know.
There's historical precedents for it, actually, because
WWE, right?
Yeah, some of the stars of that were held, they quoted held hostage at the airport and not allowed to leave because they didn't want to compete in the event. But I was going to say Stefano Domenicali, who, if you guys don't know, is sort of like the CEO of Formula One, right? He's the big boss. He took over from Chase Carey and works with Liberty Media. And so he was interviewed and he was saying, and we've seen this thought process before, that bringing sports to countries like Saudi Arabia gives the people of that country the opportunity to, you know, experience new things and gives them the opportunity to have a more open life. And he brought up the fact that, you know, women couldn't drive in Saudi Arabia 2 years ago and now they can. And because Saudi Arabia is opening up more to, I suppose, the Western world, that it's having a more positive impact on the people. And so the more international sports or entertainment things come to Saudi Arabia, it will be better for the people. But I don't know how true that is, but that's what they say.
I mean, I don't know either, but I also know that journalist Hazel Southwell, she writes for Formula E, and she was in the Saudi Arabian weekend. She was at the Saudi Arabian race 2020 season, I can't remember now.
They're like slash because they start at the end of the year and end at the beginning of the next year.
It's very annoying.
Yeah.
But she was there and she wrote this piece. I thought it was a really good piece.
Oh, we need to post that piece again, but it was a very good piece.
It is. Because she talks about how like she struggles with knowing about their human rights issues, but also thinking and like understanding that it is really important to the women in Saudi Arabia, like having women come up to her and be like very thankful that they're doing this, and like I think it gives more inspiration or opportunity than maybe it feels like it would for where we're sitting. That's my thought process on it. None of this whatever change the fact that there is a missile attack about 10 miles or less away from the track.
It's wild.
It's just like, okay, yes, there is a war going on there, right?
Yeah.
And there
has been
going on
for years. Like, it's not a new thing.
Years.
Yeah.
No. But then there's also a war going on in Russia and Ukraine, but we're not racing in Russia. Like,
double standard, majorly.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, like it's the Middle East. It's like, oh,
yeah,
God.
Exactly.
And they're getting me started right now.
And they're giving
okay,
us how much money? Okay, we'll still go. You know,
it's gonna make me really mad if we talk about this. But
yeah, I mean, we can cut off now because we'll take up too much time. But it does need to be spoken about. You know, it's and like it would be unjust of us to sit here and talk about, oh my god, did you see FP3, without acknowledging everything that happened and
a missile attack in the background,
exactly, like what might continue to happen and stuff, you know. So I wonder if there'll be discussions about removing Saudi off the calendar at all after this year. I highly doubt it, to be honest, but I don't know if there's enough uproar about it. Maybe
I guess my other thing is, how did moving into like qualifying and things like that.
Sure.
First time back on the track since last year. How did the drivers feel about the track? Because last year they said it was incredibly dangerous.
Max specifically, I remember, had quite a popular quote where he talked about having them, Formula One having 19 million reasons, as in like, or 90 million reasons, as in $90 million, as to why they were racing at a circuit like that, even though it was unsafe.
Which is kind of iconic for Max to say, because
I think so too.
It's mostly Lewis or like Seb who are like, money, you know. But for Max to say something like that, I was like,
yeah. And generally you see Max have this attitude of like, I don't care if I die. You know, he's got this very like toxic attitude sometimes, which you could put down to certain aspects of his life, maybe. Like, I remember when we first came back to Turkey a couple of years ago, and some drivers were talking about racing with some sort of like neck support because turn 8 was so intense G-force wise that it could really damage their neck. And I remember him saying, my dad would laugh at me if I did that. So you can take what you want from that as what I'm insinuating about how he might have a certain attitude sometimes. But it was nice to see him say something about it. And it's been 2 years and we've already seen at least 4-5 major crashes, including like the lower formulas as well. Like, this should not be as frequent on a circuit like this. And I think it's a cool circuit for sure, and it's a very fast circuit, but it's also very, very dangerous. Yeah, but
exactly. No, I'm not saying like, I don't know what I'm saying. I guess I'm not saying like, oh, remove it right now. I think that there's just a lot going for it that's not great.
Mm-hmm. The blind corners are like a major thing that is
It's a horrible. Scary track. And I just worry that someone is going to actually really injure themselves. And I think we can now bring up Mick Schumacher, who had a terrifying qualifying crash.
Mm-hmm. It was very scary. It was
awful. And so fast. Like, his car just like
smashed.
Fell apart.
Yeah.
Like, really bad.
Well, part
scary,
of,
scary.
Part of the new regs, actually, which I think is a very cool thing that they've done, is after Grosjean's incident in Bahrain a couple years ago, remember how his car split in half and then the fuel tank leaked everywhere and that's what caused the fire?
Yeah.
So in the new tech regs, that part of the car is supposed to deliberately detach in large crashes so that there isn't a similar instance now. And it also
the fuel tank,
yeah, and it also lessens the g-force on the drivers in the crash because that weight won't be pushing on them because it will have detached, type of thing. So I think that's very cool that they've come up with something like that. And it probably helped Mick out a lot, because if you saw his car after it, the rear end was like hanging off, so it worked the way it was supposed to, and that was good. But the scary thing was, like, when he crashed, I guess a wire got cut or something, because the electronic system cut out in his car. So he had, like, no radio communication with his team at all. And there was no, like, data for the team to analyze, so they didn't even know how heavy the crash was or anything like that. So it was, you know, radio silence until... And he was sat in the car for a long time, too, because they were worried about... I guess his spine or something. So they lifted him out of the car and put him in the ambulance in his seat rather than him climbing out himself, which was also like scary because we had no idea what was happening. But he turned out to be totally fine, which is great. And it means that the technology that they've invented to help with stuff like this is doing its job. Yeah. So big props to whoever came up with all of that stuff. I'm sure it's multiple people, but like, incredible that drivers can just walk out of cars that are shredded and be fine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But still.
Mm-hmm. Like,
scary.
It was 170 miles an hour straight into concrete barrier. There's no tire wall there. I was like trying to figure out why circuits like this are the way they are, where it's like straight concrete and there's like little to no runoff area at all. And apparently it's safer that way. Because the more a car gets to go, the worse a crash could be. So like the quicker it stops, the better, apparently. And there was no tire barrier there because apparently it's a part of the track that nobody really expected there to be any sort of big incidents on. So And a tire barrier wouldn't help with ricocheting across the track either.
Right. But I mean, that's my fear, is in qualifying, it's one thing because you're usually like alone, you have some space. But if it was a race and there was a crash like that, like the amount of cars that could have piled up just because of that is like
totally
scary.
Totally.
Like that's my problem when there's no runoff or there's no gravel to it. Like there's nothing. It's just you're in and you're off, you know?
Where was it that we saw something like that happen in 2019? It might have been Singapore, where we saw like Grosjean go into the back of George, go into the back of somebody, or I think it was Hulkenberg on a street circuit like this. I think it was 2019. I think it was Singapore, I think it was 2019, but I could be totally 100% wrong, so
I don't remember.
Don't quote me.
I have a visual in my head of something happening, but what it was from, I don't remember.
I can't remember, it's terrible. But yes, you're right, pileups are a major concern at circuits like this, especially with how fast they are, like coming to a dead stop from going at like 170 miles an hour can't be good for you. But the cars are designed to take most of the impact away from the body of the driver, so... But still, horrible.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, like... You're still... Your body is still going at that same speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But so. He's fine, which is the main thing. But he also had a bad crash last season, so he was also talking about... the track. And I remember after the race too, Lando and Esteban were being interviewed together and they were talking about their final battle in the race, which we'll probably talk about in Sector 2, but they were talking about that. And Lando was like, as soon as I went to overtake him, I could no longer see where his car was because it's a blind corner, so I couldn't do anything. So it's very dangerous if you're in the middle of moves on this circuit. You just have to really trust your gut instinct because it's totally blind what you're doing a lot of the time. So yeah, I don't know if that's supposed to be like, oh, cool track makes the best of the best, like, rule. But you can only get to a certain point of danger before it's unnecessary. Like, the whole sport is dangerous. Yeah. So we don't need to, you know, make it worse.
Like, yeah, we're not trying to bring this back to the 90s when there was a driver who died every single weekend, you know?
Right, exactly.
At least I'm not.
You know, exactly. So
it'd be hard to get invested into a sport where that's like the normal.
Totally. And I bet that there will be edits to this circuit after this season for sure.
I mean, I was just surprised they put it back on the calendar so soon because this was our second to last race.
And yeah, and the circuit was barely finished before we got here last time, I remember.
Yeah. So they only had a couple months to make big changes. And they didn't make a ton.
No. They made the final corner wider, I believe.
Yeah.
And Max made a joke. He was like, I did that myself last year. Ha 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 ha. Because he crashed in his final quali run. And then I remember Lewis was like, I don't like what they did to the final corner. And everyone was like, oh. And then obviously trying to create beef about it. Yeah. So that was one change I can think of that they made. But it didn't do anything super major to the race or to qualifying in any way.
Yeah.
Which, let's talk about quickly, because we've talked about everything sort of but what the final results of qualifying, which...
The elephant in the room.
Yeah. So...
Lewis Hamilton.
Dude! What happened?
Just... What happened?
No pace. No pace. It was...
It was painful to see.
Yeah.
Especially because it's like, okay, we've seen that before of like Lewis having some bad runs at first, and then all of a sudden he pulls something out and he's like P1, P3. Like
yeah, whatever. Right.
And so I was like, it'll be fine. Right?
That's when he's had the car to do that in the past too. Like, I'm not discounting Lewis's talent because he is incredible, but and we all know that, and I think you all know that we both know that. So don't saying that we're saying it's all the car, because no. But we know that Mercedes have been having issues. But the thing that threw me off was George was like way up there in Q1. Like way, way up there in the top 10, and Lewis was like Bye. So there was clearly, Lewis did say he made setup changes, and then there was like the complete wrong choice. So that could be.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Is I was like, I feel like your changes that you made were just not.
Yeah, he said he like lost his confidence because the balance was completely off and stuff. And you could see in the footage too, like his rear end was just like sliding sometimes, like not even properly gripping the
floor. Well, people are still getting used to these tires as well.
Very true.
Back ends falling out is
common,
not unusual these days.
Yeah, I mean, Max had that whole issue for some of this race.
And like that was like, I think the reason for Latifi's crash, I think it was the reason for Mick's crash as well, is that all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, it just goes off.
And Esteban in qualifying, like, when the red flag ended after Mick's crash, almost did exactly the same thing Mick did in the exact same spot, but he managed to correct it in time. So,
but there was a little wiggle.
But his car did go slightly sideways, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, but while we're talking about him... What is he doing this weekend? Like, eating something special? Because qualifying P5, Esteban? Go off. Proud of you, boy. Amazing. Amazing.
He's so, like, under the radar.
Oh, 100%.
Like, you're like, oh, Esteban, like, yeah, whatever. And then he's just like, I was leading the race. I got a podium.
I'm a race winner.
First. Like, we're just like, wait, what? Sorry.
No, Hungary, I'll never forget. When that showdown between him and Seb, and then Fernando after, that was great. So yeah, Esteban showing his chops again, which is pretty great to see. And he was the best of the rest essentially in qualifying, because the top two teams were Ferrari and Red Bull, who, let's talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you think
what?
I just died. No, I was thinking George qualified above Esteban, but he did not.
Right behind. No. Yeah.
Right behind.
And there wasn't that much of a difference between them, like 400ths of a second or something.
Anyways, I'm but sorry.
What I was going to say is that even though Esteban was best of the rest, there was still like a half a second between him and the next fastest person, which was Max, which is interesting to say. Max was P4, which you wouldn't... Like, I can't remember when he's qualified lower than P3 in the recent past. So that was very interesting. But him and Carlos were very close to each other. Carlos was like 600ths of a second in front of him. So it was very, very tight margins.
It was so tight. It was so tight.
The top two were like 2/10ths off of them. So that was very interesting too. And it was Charles second and Sergio first
for his finally got his first pole position.
215 attempts later, and he finally got on pole. Which incredible.
I'm proud of him. I'm happy for him.
Me too.
It was nice to see somebody new.
Yes.
Getting pole. And I believe
he's the first Mexican driver to achieve pole position. There have been Mexican drivers that have won races, like the Rodriguez brothers. But
I mean, Perez has won a race.
Perez, of course. Which, oh my god, that his race win when he went last to first, incredible. That was Bahrain, right? I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
Yep. Oh, Sakir.
Was it Sakir? Yeah, okay. One of them. They're in the same place.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to remember. I think it was Sakir. But still, first Mexican driver to achieve a pole position, which must have felt amazing. And I'm sure Sergio's like a big star in Mexico. So that must be very nice for him, and I'm happy.
I think it's also nice too, because I feel like a lot of times when Sergio has had success, it's at the expense of Max. Like, Max DNF, something goes wrong. It's not just because Sergio beat him on merit. And that sounds really rude, but I think...
It's because he's not allowed to normally, right?
Realistically, yeah. But, like, realistically, I think...
He's capable.
This was one of the only times where he actually just kicked Max's butt.
By a long shot, too. Like,
yeah,
almost 3/10ths faster. So, shit. Like, very, yes. very happy for Sergio, extremely. And,
oh, absolutely.
And he's such a good guy, too, that you respect when things like this happen. You're like, you deserve it, because not only are you good at what you do, but you're a good person. So,
exactly.
And I think there wasn't a single person that was mad about it. Like, nobody could be mad about it in the paddock at all.
No.
Everyone was... I saw pictures of him on the track after when they parked the cars up in the spots after qualifying. His old team, Aston Martin team, came out and ran up to the fence and congratulated him, and I was like, this is so cute. Aww. So that was really cute to see, and I'm happy for him for sure. And I bet he's like, thank God Lawrence Stroll fired me, because I'm having the best time in my career right now.
Yeah, especially with how badly
Aston Martin are doing. Which,
sorry.
No, it's fine. I have to get over it at some point. But in talking about that, the Mercedes cars are just not in it, like, power unit wise. And I think that's, we need to start acknowledging that it might not be a drag issue more than it is a power issue, because every customer team is doing poorly compared to the Ferrari customer teams.
What did they do?
I have no idea. Well, they lost Andy Cowell from the engine department. Who
went to Red Bull.
Who was, like, major for them. And then, as well as him, a bunch of other people jumped ship to Red Bull powertrains.
Yeah. But,
so, and Honda, and their engine seems to be okay, apart from in the first race where there was a fuel pump issue, which might not be their engine, really. So,
yeah.
And even Alpine, the Renault engine in their car seems pretty good. So...
I mean, to be fair, they don't have to supply to anyone else. They're probably just very focused on themselves.
True. But we know how bad that power unit has been in the past, and it's been a point of contention, right? Like, McLaren were like, got to jump ship to Mercedes, and now they're like, God damn. We should have stayed.
They're like, shoot. Yeah. We should have kept Renault, and we should have kept Carlos. Okay.
Yeah. Literally. Carlos is probably so relieved right now, too. Oh no. But yeah, the bottom teams were all Mercedes. P19 was Latifi, and then Hülkenberg, then Albon, then Lewis, then Stroll. So the bottom five, all Mercedes mm-hmm. power units.
Mm-hmm.
And only the McLarens managed to make it out of there, and George to be out of the bottom five. So. Shout out to the McLarens also for making it out of Q3, which was nice to see that they have
Q1.
Or sorry, Q1, you're right. I always say it backwards. Q1.
I do too, because I make that. It's okay.
3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3, whatever. but it was nice to see that they might not actually be dead last for once. You know, even though it's only race 2, but it was so disheartening for them to be so poor in race 1.
It was.
So, it was. And it's nice to see that they were close to each other, too. Like, it wasn't like Lando was miles ahead or Daniel was miles ahead. They were next to each other. So, good to see that. What else is there to talk about? Kevin Magnussen, Q3, again.
I think there could have been a chance for Mick to get into Q3 too.
He does as
had
well.
He not had crash.
He said that. He was like, if I hadn't crashed, I had the car to get into Q3. So it would have been nice. But it would have been nice to see him up there.
Been really
and
nice.
He could have had his first points this weekend, you know?
It wouldn't surprise me.
No. No.
Anyways, let's move on. We can talk more.
Let's. About the race.
In the race. In Sector 2, we discuss Alpine's excellent battle, the continuation of Max and Charles' rivalry, and one crash that completely changed the race.
So, we started with our predictions last time, because we forgot to make them for Bahrain the episode before, so we just said what they were in the episode. But I think it worked well to guide our race conversation, so we figured we would start again with our predictions just as a reminder. And I think we should start with the DNS because we are counting DNS as DNF this season. And we both correctly predicted that poor Yuki Tsunoda would DNF or DNS. So
I don't know why, but we both knew that. We're both like, yep, Yuki.
Well, see, I didn't think it would happen this way. I was like, it's gonna be a crash. It's Yuki.
I thought he would get like a little fired up and be like, rah.
Yeah, or have something happen, like what happened to Mick or something like that. But
yeah.
Glad that didn't happen and that it was just I believe an electrical fault of some kind in his car.
Yeah.
But you know what I found is interesting is that last week all of the Red Bull cars except Yuki DNF'd, and this week Yuki was the only one to DNF. It was like his car was on a delay to DNF because they were like, we can't have all four cars not finish the first race.
One at a time.
Yeah. So that was interesting. You predicted, interestingly, which I'm sure you felt like upset about, you predicted Sergio was going to DNF, but then he got pole position. So
I felt really guilty.
Imagine you were like, oh no.
But Perez also has absolutely no luck.
Oh, totally. Zero.
At all.
Which happened in this race with the safety car coming out that really screwed him up.
I have nothing wrong. I have nothing against Latifi, but that man needs to leave F1.
He keeps messing things up for other people.
He will literally curse a race.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never seen anything like it.
He always knows when to bring out a safety car, you know? He's like, right now, I got it. I gotta mess this up.
Oh my god. But yeah, no, but he completely screwed Perez's race because Perez was doing good.
He had an amazing start. Like,
such a good start. I don't know if he would have won, but he was definitely going to be up there.
Yeah, podium for sure. For sure.
Absolutely. He was going to be battling Charles for first, I think, is what my
I reckon
read on the situation was. And then thank you, Latifi, for screwing him.
Like, literally pitted the lap before the safety car came out. Like, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Very similar, I guess, to like Lewis in Abu Dhabi pitting and then being on older tires and then Max getting the free change under the safety car or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not to bring that up, but that's just what came to my mind. Because it was Latifi that crashed there too. So.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But yeah. Poor Sergio, my god, because this would have been incredible for him to P1, lead every lap, and then win. He could have had the hat trick, but he never got it. But he did still end P4, which can't feel horrible, but it would, I imagine, feel extra worse when you qualified on pole, you know? It's like him and Max
especially
swap positions.
But also just getting kicked off the podium in that way.
Yeah.
It's gotta be super frustrating.
But he's such a good guy and such a team player that he just put his head down and just stayed with it the rest of the race. And he was like up there with Carlos fighting for the majority of the race.
Yeah.
For P3. But yeah, speaking of, the race start was good for Charles, but not so good for Carlos because I think he just positioned himself on the wrong side of Charles to maintain P3,
mm-hmm,
or to overtake for P2, and that totally opened the door up for Max to take P3 off of him, and then he just sort of fell away from them at that point, I think. I don't know. It just seemed like that. I wonder if there's like a confidence thing with Carlos, because we have heard him talk about how he doesn't feel like he's at his best right now. Which is crazy to say, considering where he's sitting in the championship and like his race finishes so far have been pretty good.
I was just looking at the championship standings right now. I was like, let's see where we're at.
Yeah.
Charles is ahead.
Mm-hmm.
45 points.
Yep.
He has a 11-point lead on
Carlos.
Carlos is in P2. And a 20-point lead on Max.
Yep.
George is at 22 points. Lewis is at 16 points.
Kevin.
Esteban is at 14 points. Sergio and Kevin are at 12 points.
That's wild that Sergio's so low down, but it's only because he also DNF'd last race.
Yeah. Bottas is P9 and 8 points. Lando is 6 points.
And it's Yuki nice to four. See.
Yuki and Pierre are both at 4. They're both tied.
Ooh.
Fernando has 2 and Guan Yu Zhou has 1.
Amazing.
But I'm happy for him. He's scoring points.
Mm-hmm.
Point. Scored point.
Oh, that was something funny that happened, is that Lewis managed to hustle his way into the points this race, but because of a bad luck, he also had bad luck with the safety car.
Yeah.
Because it came out later in the race after 3 cars retired all at the same time, essentially, for technical reasons. Fernando, Daniel, and Valtteri all retired at the same time, but Valtteri was able to get into the pit.
That was weird.
Fernando and Daniel didn't, and sort of blocked the entrance to the pit lane, but before they closed the pit lane, both Kevin and Nico Hülkenberg pitted because they were on the same strategy as Lewis, where they started on hards and went for a long run. And so they pitted under that safety car, but then Lewis was going to, and then they closed the pit entrance right before he got there, so he didn't get to. So he ended up going 40 laps out of 50 on his first set of tires, which...
And he had to take a pit stop.
Like, and he had to, yeah. Like, I mean, legally he has to anyway, because it's in the rules, but like... but
that's what I meant.
But he was desperate to stay up there. But he was up in like P7, P6 area, and then that screwed him and he fell back down to like... I think it was like 14th or something.
Yeah,
Fought his way up to P10. And at the end of the race, he was like, Bono said, "That's P10, well done, mate. Sorry about everything." And Lewis went, "Is there even points for this position?" And I was like, wow. It's clearly been a long time since you've been in that position in a race. But, oh, that was funniest to me. He was like, "Is there even points for P10? Oh.
No, I'm not kidding, yeah.
George would know. It's all he hoped for like 3 years was P10, at least.
Burn, oh my god.
But George did well this weekend, right?
To be fair, though, the point system has changed since Lewis was like at the back, so he's like,
that's
what?
True, that's true, that's true.
I don't know.
But yeah, George did very well this race weekend. Qualified, okay. He pulled that tractor of a car up into a good spot in qualifying and was able to get even higher in the race. So
I mean, that man knows how to pull a tractor.
Exactly.
I think he could pull Williams up. He can pull up a
bad
Mercedes too, I guess.
I think I was saying that to you, or we were saying it to each other or something.
Yeah,
I was like, all this experience he has from really having to give his entire being into pulling that Williams into Q2, he has been able to do for pulling that Mercedes into Q3. And Lewis isn't used to having to do that because he's just had such a good car for so long that he's still good, but he hasn't had to like really dig into like the grit and the finding out the gears and stuff that work the best.
Well, I think the major thing is for George that really gave him that skill is... Desperation.
Survival instinct.
Survival skills. Which Lewis has not had to use for a while, so
yeah,
we might see those come out, though.
I hope we get...
I know he's got them. I know he's got them.
2007, 2008 Lewis Hamilton returning scrappy. It'd be interesting.
You know, my favorite thing to see from Lewis is like when he's hunting.
Yes.
Like, everyone in front of him is, like, scared. Like, they're terrified because he's just, like...
He's right there.
Yeah, I feel like he's, like, a horse galloping behind them, and you can just hear the hooves, like, getting closer and closer.
I feel like that's a Ferrari metaphor, but I get what you mean.
That's true. I'm sorry.
No, but, like, Monza, when he had, like, the 10-second stop go, and then he came at last, and then he hunted, the entire field. Incredible. Yeah. And then Silverstone as well.
On 3 wheels.
Yeah, another example. Like, he's just... A lot of the time, they're like... I feel like drivers are like, just let him through. Because I'll just waste my tires fighting him anyway, you know? Because he's going to get through. Yeah.
The only one who, like, actually will stand up to him in that situation is Fernando Alonso. Because he's like, nope.
He's like, I'm not facing 2008 all over again.
Yeah.
You will not beat me.
Well, I think this is something that, like, is so interesting to think about, because the generations are definitely changing on the grid.
Totally.
And there are some key fighters still on the track, aka Fernando Alonso and Perez and Seb, if Seb had a car to fight. But I think with, like, Fernando, he's just, like, elbows out, like, no. He's, like, sassy about that. He's like, no. And Perez is like, no, I have a chance to, like, race and win. I'm gonna race you.
I need to keep my seat at Red Bull.
But, like, the way that I don't want to get into it again, but the way that Max races Lewis,
different.
Also, can we just talk for a second about, no, like, major shade to Max, but a little bit of shade, because can we be mature adults here? Like,
his, I don't need you coming on the radio
being a total brat, being, it's like, not, it's fair. Not fair. I was like, bro, have you actually looked at your driving at times? What Charles is doing to you is completely legal.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like most of the time on Twitter and stuff, you see, like, Max fanboys, and this is not to attack anybody, but, like, you see Max fanboys like, Lewis was totally whining about his tires on the radio, like, man up, blah, 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 blah. And then as soon as Max is like, it's not fair. His lights aren't working. He went over the pit lane line. How did he catch up so quickly? It's like, wow. Wow. And then this is the second week in a row where he's been sort of kind of whiny on the radio. Like, I get last week it was more panic because there was just no idea what was happening, and I probably would have crashed. Like, but
he was like, I'm number one. There's the one in my car. Why am I winning?
I have gold shoes. Come on. No.
Why am I not
No, but that was funny. It's like the end of the race when that was like the last two laps when him and Charles were fighting, and he was like, it's not fair. How did he catch up so quickly under the yellow flag? And then immediately after the race, Charles came on the radio and was like, wow, that was a very good battle. Like, props to Max for winning. He deserved it. It was like totally the same conversation as he pushed me off the track. It was just an incident. Like, it's the same thing. They're exactly the same as they were.
It was. They're just always going to have that connection, and it's incredible.
Yeah.
We were laughing, though. Like, Charles is like such a puppy dog off the track, right? Like, he is a golden retriever who will chase the squirrel. Like, that's his brain cell. No offense.
One brain cell. And it's only on racing the whole time.
And then the other part of his brain is on racing, like, in the actual car, of, like, knowing, like, when to let Max take over. And then he's like, nope, I'm coming back. And, like, this and that and this and that.
Yeah.
And I was like, the way that you race on track, like, it does not connect to
how you are in real life.
It sounds so rude, but
no, he got lost trying to find the pit lane at the end of the race. So
he did. He was like, I don't know where to go. And there was a car in front of him driving into the pit lane, and he almost went off. And I was like,
Max was right in front of him. And Charles was like,
I was like, Charles.
Oh, that was funny. That was funny. No, but I think the way he battles Max, though, they talked about it. They did also get interviewed, and Max got asked if he races Charles different from Lewis, which I appreciated that being asked to him, because after we talked about it. And he went, well, I've known him for years. And so that was kind of our conclusion, right, is that they just know each other so well that they know how to operate better and what to expect out of each other compared to Lewis.
I think it's the same thing as seeing Alonso and Lewis race together.
Totally. Yeah, because whenever they race wheel to wheel, it's still so respectful.
So respectful, but it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
They know each other.
Yeah.
It's like a dance, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's like a dance. It's like a tango.
And it's the same vibe I get from Charles and Max. It's like,
I agree.
It's a little bit more immature, but it's still a dance.
They'll get there one day. Yeah. I mean, the way they were racing this week too, where it was Max chasing Charles again, and it was knowing when to overtake and when to not, so that he could use the DRS on the straight. It took him a couple of goes to figure out that that's what he needed to do, was to just have patience and wait for the straight. But it was very similar to last week, I think, where he tried the same move on Charles like four times, and it was like, you should have figured this out like two times ago, what to change, and he never did. And it was like, finally he's put two and two together, and it was patience that helped him do that.
Well, he came over the radio too, and he was like, Max, have patience.
Yeah.
Like,
let him wear his star as a, you know.
Like, you need to calm down, which is tough for Max to do.
Yeah. One of the moments, too, that was, like, tense was when they both locked up at the same time.
I know. I was like, what? I was like, ooh.
And then Charles immediately put his foot down, and Max locked up again, so.
Yeah, I mean, Charles went full on, like, like, out of the standstill. He was like, nah.
He was like, this is not happening. But yeah.
I respected it.
I liked how... I mean,
to be fair, though, Max had a worse lockup than Charles did.
Yeah, he, like, did a double lockup.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, Max is, which I feel like is a rare comment from Max, but he said, Charles is not stupid. Which I feel like he probably hasn't said about other drivers, you know. Right. So there is totally a mutual respect between them, which I think is going to become key to their
sort
rivalry.
It's like a toxic relationship.
Yeah, they love hate each other, you know.
They do. Yeah. It's like, I respect him, but also it's unfair.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I can't wait for it to continue. And I really...
It's so, like... And Charles is so... aloof to it. He was like, that was respectful.
He was like, that was
it's
great
just
fun.
An incident. It was so good. And Max is like, it was unfair. He cut me off.
If Max didn't win, I have no doubt he would have been like, Stuart, he went over the pit lane line twice. His rear lights weren't working. Come on, disqualify him. But
well, I was like, he said that on the radio and I was like, maybe he's not reharvesting energy right now. So like his lights would not be on.
Like, maybe he's just trying to throw you off, you know, by not doing that. Maybe.
Like, he was also in front of you, so maybe he was just accelerating.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, what do,
like,
we know?
I also don't know, like, how the Ferrari car was working at that moment. Like, mm-hmm. maybe he was not harvesting. Maybe he had already harvested. I don't know.
Also, I think there was talk that Ferrari still hasn't turned their engine all the way up. And they're still...
What?
Yeah, and they're still, like, the fastest power unit, it seems, so...
They're waiting, they're like,
yeah,
when do we level up?
Right, it's like, because people are going to be bringing upgrades throughout the season, and Ferrari are probably just waiting for that to happen so that they can turn their power unit up. And also, it helps conserve the power units so they don't have to take penalties and stuff to keep them turned down. So it's good. Like, Mercedes, obviously, had their engines turned down a couple of years ago. When they were dominating, because they didn't need to have the full power.
I wish that's what was happening now.
I bet. So does Williams and Aston Martin and the other one. Who's the other one?
They're both like, shoot. McLaren?
McLaren, Jesus.
What's the other one?
They're just so out of my mind right now, which is horrible. But Lando, P7, can't be mad about that, to be honest, after last week.
No. I mean, he can be mad about it, but
he can
also not. I think the thing is we hate to see teams take steps backwards.
Oh, 100%.
And McLaren looks like they looked.
It's like 2018 McLaren.
18. Well, I guess, but I was thinking more like when Lando was there.
Oh, when they first
got there. 2019.
Sure.
We're like, ew, like a good result was like P7.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's true, yeah. Oh. And then Daniel DNF, so they couldn't even get a double points finish. So that are McLaren still last in the constructors?
No.
They won't be, will they? It'll be Williams, probably.
It'll be Williams because they got points now.
Right.
So I don't know, Williams or Aston Martin, who is last?
Right, and then McLaren will be next after them.
Let's just take a look. Williams is last, so it's McLaren, Aston Martin, and Williams.
Right. And then above McLaren is Alfa Romeo?
Tauri.
Alfa Tauri.
8 points. And then Alfa Romeo has 9 points.
Nice.
And Haas has 12 points.
Woo! Finally. Amazing.
Alpine is 16. Ferrari, though.
100.
78. Mercedes is 38. Red Bull is 37.
Whoa.
Is this Ferrari's year? Is this Ferrari's year?
I've been telling you that. No, yeah. I think it is. I really think they've figured it out, you know? I love it.
Charles or Carlos world champion?
I will die if either of them get it. It'd be nice to see new world champions back to back, actually. Rather than
I know, because I'm like, Max.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
But I mean, Max is definitely up there.
If you
want
to be world champion, you're going to have to learn.
This would be the season
that sometimes it's fair and sometimes you get beaten and that's okay.
I think this would be the season where if he did become world champion, though, that it would be great for him.
On merit?
Yeah, because he's so tight with both the Ferraris, speed-wise. And Sergio's also up there as a competitor, I mean, getting pole position. It seemed like, anyway, Red Bull were taking that as, oh, he's going to be as competitive, we should give him more of an opportunity, right? And Max was even, you know, his rhetoric kind of was, Sergio's not up there to assist me by holding the Ferraris back. We're a team and we're here to get the most points possible out of the weekend. So it seems like maybe having a world championship has knocked his ego down a peg, maybe. It seems like that always happens with the drivers. Like, whenever they finally achieve that, they're like, oh, I can be a human being again, you know? So potentially. And now that Christian's finally had his, like, years of millions of dollars paid into Max Verstappen finally pay off in a world championship, he can kind of cool off a little bit and put more attention into Sergio. And it also, they spoke about how the car this year suits Sergio more, because the cars from the previous gen and previous seasons have been, especially the Red Bull car, have been very hard to drive, very, like, testy, which we know, right? Like, very pointed. We talked about this when Alex was there as a teammate and when Pierre was there as a teammate, how it was very difficult to drive that car. Mm-hmm. And so now this car, this season, seems to fit Sergio's style, and it seems that it's true, and it's paying off. So, and Max certainly hasn't been slowed down much by the car favoring Sergio more either. So they could have really figured out their package. So I wouldn't discount Red Bull entirely. But I think this is Ferrari's fight to lose so far. And it'll be exciting to see this continue.
I mean, I think this is the future, right? Like,
yeah. As much as Ferrari is a historical team. Yeah, that's the future.
Charles and Max are the future. What's going to happen to Lewis? I don't know.
I don't know, dude.
Like, I guess my fear is if he doesn't win this year.
Well, he's only got next year on his contract.
What happens?
So.
I know, but I don't want him to, like, fade like Michael Schumacher did.
Or like Seb.
Okay, but yeah.
I cried.
Seb won those a long time ago. Like,
yeah, 10 years ago.
He faded very slowly.
That's true, because he was still competitive up until, like, 2019. So.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my fear, is I'm like, was that just the way that it's going to be for Lewis? Like, he went out with that just being yanked away from him, and then
I feel like we're speaking too soon, and let's not, like, what if, what aboutism, you
just
know,
in tears right now.
It's race two. Mercedes aren't stupid. They'll figure something out. I'm sure he'll be competing for podiums at least, and he'll be top five in the championship, I imagine.
What I need to see, though, is a better car for George.
Poor George waited so long, and now it's like, I'm competing for P9. Woo.
But this is my dream, is to see George, Charles, Max, and Lando all fighting for the championship.
I would love a four-way tail fight.
We used to get them.
This season could potentially be a four-way title fight with the way it's gone so far. We had Charles win race one, Max win race two, but we also had Carlos on both podiums, so he's a potential fighter as well.
He'll definitely get a win this year.
Oh, 100%. If he doesn't, I'll be absolutely astonished. And then Sergio, definitely going to get a win as well.
I mean, for sure.
So I wouldn't discount Sergio either.
No.
And then, I don't know. I mean, I feel like if Mercedes figure it out,
I won't discount them either.
Exactly. And then also, Alpine have been really good. I'm not going to say they're, like, championship worthy yet, but they have been best of the rest competitors, for sure.
Esteban for world champion.
That'd be crazy. Fernando comes back and wins a third.
Bottas for world championship.
I'm totally 100% behind that.
That would be honestly so wholesome.
Yeah.
But also a major middle finger to Mercedes.
Yeah. It's cute to see, though, how him and Lewis are still so friendly with each other. Even though they're not teammates, you still see them chatting to each other off the grid and stuff.
Yeah.
which is really nice.
It's very nice.
And like, interacting on social media, which I'm loving, because I feel like you don't expect that from Valtteri so much, but he's been having some good jokes with Lewis on Twitter and Instagram and stuff, which is cute.
They have good camaraderie.
Definitely. Who else is there to talk about? Pierre had a decent race. P8.
Decent, yeah.
Yep. Nothing spectacular, but he's still scoring points, which is what he needs to be doing.
Consistency. That's what he's got.
Exactly.
That sounded really rude. But like...
No.
I talk about consistency, like, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Pierre has it.
No.
Like, Pierre is always solid in the points.
Yeah. And that's what AlphaTauri needs, to be honest, is consistency.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of, like, what AlphaTauri is capable of. It's not like he consistently be winning races. Right. Like, his consistency is solid point scoring.
Mm-hmm. Guanyu, well... I reckon he would have been in the points again if the penalties weren't an issue for him. Because he got a penalty, I believe, for contact with Daniel in the opening lap at the start. Which Daniel had a 3-place grid penalty, by the way, which we forgot to mention. But
I have something to bring up too. Sorry, but I just remembered it.
So Guan Yu thought he served his 5-second stop go under the first safety car, I believe, and then he was told he didn't serve it properly, so he had to serve another penalty, but then he finished P11. So I think he might have been in the points this race if he didn't have those issues, you know?
I think so too.
I mean, only 13 cars finished this race, so he wasn't like high up, but still he could have been in the points. I think Lewis just pipped him out of it too at the end, so yeah. Good for him. I don't think he was expecting to be battling Lewis Hamilton in his first season of Formula One, so
probably not.
Be good practice. But yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, can I bring up something really quick?
Yeah, of course.
So, behind me, I have both Esteban and Fernando Alonso battling it out.
Epic.
Which was epic, but I want to point something out specifically about that. Okay, so Esteban, when they were... battling, there was I can't remember which corner it was, but he accidentally drove
wide
too far. He did not turn in time, so he ended up going over the corner.
He just turned two,
gained an advantage in front of Alonso.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a complicated situation, right? Because any other, if it was two different teams, it would have been like, S1, you have to give that place back. But because it was just teammates, it was like,
we get the same points no matter what order they're in.
Like, what do you care? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. But also then, Crofty was saying, and this is what I want to make sure of, because I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that the FIA won't directly speak to them about that.
Mm-hmm.
So either they're going to have to monitor that themselves and decide to give places back. Like that. My question is, does they mean that about every single situation like that, or just because it was two teammates?
That's interesting. No, I feel like it's just because they're teammates, potentially, because we did see also in the race, Sergio and Carlos have a similar issue, right? Where they both were crossing the safety car line to restart the race at a very similar time, and Carlos argued that he was in front when crossing the line, but Sergio took position ahead of him at the restart. Yeah. And then Sergio ended up giving the place back to Carlos before the FIA told them to, but they were expecting the FIA to tell them to. So they did it just to get it out of the way sooner.
But that's the thing, right? It's like they didn't wait for the FIA to say it. They also managed that themselves.
I think they're just worried because the rules might be more stringent this year. Right? Well, you'd think anyway.
And they don't have Michael Massey to walk over?
Potentially. Exactly. So...
You know what, though? I would like to give Max a little slap on the wrist, frankly. Because that man...
When do you
and
not?
I know it's okay. It's legal-ish. But when there's a safety car restart, he really likes to edge up his nose.
That's
and
his
be
move.
Like,
that's his signature.
And I'm like, that's just like... I don't know, man. I don't trust you.
That's his signature, though. But, I mean, it doesn't always work out for him, so he can do it however he wants, in my opinion, because we saw him do that last week, and it totally messed him up with the restart, and Charles got away so far. So, he can try that tactic, like, but it's not... It's kind of pushing the limit, though, I agree.
I just roll my eyes a little bit, because I'm like...
Yeah.
You're going to sit there on the radio and be like, it's unfair. And I'm like, bro, your nose for a good chunk of the time before that safety car restart was in front of Charles. So
yeah,
let's just calm down.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, though. It's not illegal as long as he's behind him at the restart officially. So yeah, I mean, I think it's...
I would be a terrible racer.
I think it's smart what he does, like, but it's not always the right move.
Yeah, but I would be such a petty racer if that was about me.
Yeah.
I would be so petty.
Yeah.
It would be bad.
Well, you know what I'm like when we play anything competitively. I'm the worst. So
you're terrible.
We'd probably hate each other if we were
no doubt
competitive. No doubt. Oh, man. But what else happened just to close off this sector? I mean, Esteban and Fernando's battle this whole race was so
sick. It was really fun. And then Sky was talking to them on...
Talking to
Otmar over the radio, which is so weird to hear Otmar speaking for Alpine instead of Aston Martin. I was like, wait,
I'm used to him talking about Seb, but now he's talking about Fernando and Esteban.
I know, but it also seems to fit really well. Like, it makes sense to me in a weird way.
Maybe he just missed Esteban so much.
Yeah. Crofty was like, though, like, are you going to let them race? He was like, are you sure? What about their tires? Like, are we sure? And Otmar was just like, yeah, we're going to let them race. And he was like,
you'll see.
You'll see. It'll be fine. I was like, you're so weird, but I respect it.
I appreciate getting to see teammates battle like that, for sure. Especially when Alpine... They're not exactly a backmarker, right? They're competing for best of the rest, and they can need as many points as they can get. So allowing them to compete like that is a pretty interesting choice. Especially when Fernando's one of your drivers, right?
But it's also like fun to see them racing because I feel like they respect each other so much.
Totally.
As like a...
Sort of like mentor-mentee.
Mentor, yeah, exactly. That it's like they're kind of like, I feel like Fernando is like proud of him, like while he's driving. Yeah. Like, oh, this is fun.
And Esteban.
Maybe that's just me, like, I think so as well.
And Esteban's such a nice guy that I can only imagine that Fernando is like, I have to protect you in some sort of way. I need to give you all my skills and guidance.
I have to teach you my knowledge that before I leave.
He's like a sensei.
Yes.
But yeah, no, that whole thing was very cool. And then. Poor Fernando DNF'd for a technical issue, so that was unfortunate. But Esteban went on to have an insane drag race to the finish with Lando, which was very entertaining for P6, great.
Which Esteban claimed.
Just got, I think it was like a hundredth of a second or a tenth or something like that difference between them. So,
but I mean, Esteban is in great company because we have up top, we have Max, Charles, Carlos, Perez, George, and then Esteban. So he's in great company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a race winner. George can't say that. Just saying. Just saying.
Burn. We all know he would have been.
Insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but then Sergio, you couldn't have given it to him. Come on. No, I'm kidding.
No, that's true.
I'm kidding.
Anyways, there are no would-haves, should-haves, could-haves.
As much as we like to wish there was. Yeah. It's all...
Doesn't work out.
It's all black and white, although sometimes it isn't. So not really.
It's all a gray area, actually. And if you want to know more about that, you can check out our episode.
Gray area. That's right. But yeah, I think we should stop talking now. I think we've said all we have to say.
Yeah.
About the race. It was, I would say, you know, I don't hate the track at all.
It scares me, but
apart from
the
safety issues. I think it's a fun track, but there could be improvements for sure.
Yeah, it's the blind corners that scare me. Mm-hmm. Because say somebody crashes right in front of you around the blind corner, you go around and you're like...
Because mm-hmm. it's the fastest street circuit they have, or pseudo street circuit, I guess. It's kind of a street circuit.
Yeah.
It's the second fastest circuit next to Monza, I believe, on the calendar, which says something about it. And Monza, you can see everything. So, most of the time. So, this definitely needs some editing, I think. And I think drivers will talk about it. I mean, I think there'll be whole discussions about continuing in Saudi Arabia anyway, but that's a discussion for another day when that all gets finalized or whatever is happening around that. So,
well, they have a full year to figure out all those details. I think a big part of it was that they only had a couple months to get it all together. And
But it was their choice to rush it. They could have held off until 2022 and finished the circuit properly.
They could have.
So, money, money, money. You know, as Abba says, must be funny in a rich man's world. I hate myself. I love Abba, guys. Anyway, you know what's exciting me, though?
God. Your Abba concert?
Sure, but I was going to say Australia, you know? Going back to Albert Park, finally. So, let's move on to talk about what we think is going to happen there, huh?
Alrighty.
In Sector 3, we make our predictions for the Australian Grand Prix.
Okay, so let's dive into predictions for the Australian Grand Prix. We have missed it, I think. We have all missed it.
For sure.
We were there in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Briefly.
Briefly.
did not race.
That's where Lewis said Cash is King, I believe.
Cash is King.
Mm-hmm.
Iconic moment.
Yep.
Drivers all had a little vacation, spent some time on the beach. Like,
Seb left,
good, you know?
Like, super early. He was like
no,
I'm not sticking around for this.
So no. Draw the line here.
Yeah.
Lewis was like, saying it, I'm out. A lot of good stuff.
Yeah. I've missed Australia as like a season opener, though. I think it's a fun season opener.
Feels kind of weird that like we're going there, their third race.
Yeah, I agree. I like having, it feels just like a nice warm, like, hello, you know, g'day to everybody. And I'm sure Daniel always loves it being the season opener as well. And I'm so happy that he's finally going to get to have a home race again.
Yeah, and like see his family and all that.
Yeah, have home support. That would be, I really think that will drive him to do something well this weekend. I haven't honestly included him in my predictions, but I think potentially.
Interesting. I did include him in mine.
I'm glad, because I feel bad that I didn't include him in mine. I didn't want to jinx him, because I feel like sometimes he has bad luck in Australia, so.
Yeah, he's just terrible at Australia.
Like, his podium disqualification, which was so sad. His 2019 race start with his first race with Renault, which was hard to watch, you know? So, hopefully good things will come for him this year, for sure. But can't really be sure with that McLaren car underneath him, so...
No.
With that being said, do you want to start podium-wise?
Yeah. Okay. I have Perez as P1.
Love it.
I want some redemption for this man.
I appreciate that.
He needs it. He deserves it. This is his moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
P2, I have Charles.
Mm-hmm.
I just think Australia's got a lot of space to drive quickly, and Charles can do that.
Yeah.
Charles loves Monza, and Australia kind of reminds me of Monza a little bit, certain places.
Sure.
And P3, I have Carlos, because Carlos is a king and keeps getting on podiums, so let's just keep it going.
King of consistency.
Yeah.
Well, I have a very similar podium to you, because it's the same three drivers, but in a different order.
Intriguing.
Yes. So I have Carlos P1.
Nice. I almost did that, because I was like, Carlos needs a win.
Yeah.
That's, but then I was like, Perez needs one more.
Where my head was at, Carlos needs a win, and so far Ferrari seemed to be still slightly ahead of Red Bull.
Yeah.
But I put Sergio P2 because, like you, I was like, he needs redemption for what happened to him in Saudi Arabia. And then I put Charles P3 because Charles is quick and I think he's podium worthy. But my heart is with Carlos and Sergio right now. So
fair.
That's what I've done.
Valid, valid. All right, pole position. I have Charles.
I have Carlos.
Okay.
So you think Charles is going to pole and then fight with Sergio for the lead and Sergio's going to take it?
Yeah.
Cool. Kind of what happened in Saudi, except it'll remain with Sergio in the lead. Kinda.
Yeah, I was like trying to like recreate Saudi if it like have the outcome that would have been really well deserved for Sergio. So
yeah, I have Carlos because he has been so close to pole position a few times now.
He has.
And like even last season in Monaco, he probably could have had it if Charles didn't crash and keep pole position. So
iconic.
It's been a long time coming, and I could see him doing something good in Oz. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Yeah.
I think we might have one of the same DNS, but let's go fastest lap first.
Who do you Carlos. Got?
I have Charles for mine. So we switched
we're
our
so
poles
close.
In fastest
lap. Yeah, we're really close. Okay. Safety car?
I have two.
Okay.
Because
I only have one DNS, so.
You don't want to maximize your points though. If there's
that's
two.
That's so true. Okay, I don't know
hey,
why
you
I
you've
got to
play
that.
This game strategically. While you're
that's
doing
true.
That, I'll tell you mine.
I got to think of somebody else.
Okay,
who's
so
gonna be
NF? I have Max as one.
Me
and
too.
I thought we would have Max. Because when you didn't have Max on your podium, I was like, she's done the same thing I have.
Yeah.
He's not in the race. And then I have Esteban as the other. And my brain went, they have history. It might happen again in Australia.
True.
You never know. And Esteban's been up there in the top five, so it could be an opening lap incident or something, potentially. So that's who I have for my DNFs. So you have Max's one.
And then I just added on Latifi, because...
There's precedent there, you know? History goes to show that he might DNF at least once a weekend, you know? Whether it be in free practice, or qualifying, or the race.
There's a good chance he'll be in the wall at some point, so.
Weather. I have
it's
dry.
Like circling like C on your SAT test just to your average will get better. Sorry.
That's a joke for all the Americans out there.
There you go.
I did not get that at all, but I'm sure it's a great joke.
It was like the thing, the likeliness if you circle the same letter, if you don't know the answer to any of the questions.
Oh, it's like a technique.
Technique. If just okay. You'll get like a
you're
better
be right.
Score.
25% of the time you'll be right.
Yeah.
Like okay. Makes sense. Statistically.
Worked for me.
The SAT test is just terrible.
Stupid.
Doesn't make sense. Anyway. Random predictions. Or weather. I said dry. Because it's Australia. It can rain in Australia, but I don't think it will at this time of year.
Yeah, it's summer for them.
Kind of. It's the end of summer, so reaching
autumn,
yeah.
I'm going to stick with dry. Though I would love an Australian rainy race.
A wet Australia? That would be nice. Interesting. Can't remember the last time that happened, but I might
be
totally blanking.
Good for their climate, too.
They need it, because they have had a drought for the past few years. Okay, random. I took one of my random predictions from last week and made it the same for this week, because it had Valtteri in it and he DNF'd. So,
fair.
I put him top seven as one of them. And then my other one... I put Lewis top five because I think he'll be on a revenge arc after what happened this week. And if I'm going to see Max and Esteban DNF, there are places to be taken by the Mercedes cars, including Lewis. So I think that could be potentially what might happen if I'm right. So I have faith in him.
I'm changing one of mine as you speak.
Okay. Well, what's the other one? Is
right,
you're changing?
So, well, originally I had Lewis. But I'm getting rid of Lewis because it's fine.
Okay.
I put Daniel in the points because it's Australia and I hope.
I love that.
And then secondly, I put Mick in the points because my man needs some redemption
from
and healing after, you know.
Totally. And he's got a couple
a
weeks
really
of recovery.
It's an incident.
Incident, for
incident.
Sure. So.
That is my... Those are my predictions.
we have a good chance of getting a similar amount of points so far, because you had this week's podium, you had all three podium sitters on it, and I had one wrong. You have a 3-point advantage on me. So we tied in the first week, but you got 3 more points than me this week. So next week I have to catch back up and overtake you or maintain a tie somehow.
What is my actual feeling is that Max will win. But
we've probably set that up because we've both studied DNF. It'll probably him that
but
win.
It may happen. I don't know.
You never know.
I just want Sergio to win. And I just said that it sucks because Sergio usually wins or does well at the expense of Max, but
yeah.
I don't care.
I don't care either. Screw it.
Yeah.
Max already has a championship.
I just said Pergio.
Pergio.
Pergio. Sergio deserves it, so.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I want to see him look Lauren Stroll in the eye as he stands on the podium and be like, thank you.
Can I help you?
Who are you? Do I know you?
What do you want?
Oh, you're Lance's dad? Nice to meet you.
Lance
He's a great kid.
He's a great kid. I'm very fond of working with him.
Aw. Anyway. Final thoughts. I'm excited to see Seb back next week. Yeah. Poor Nico. He did get a comeback, though. I'm sure his neck is killing him. I imagine.
Nico. I swear. And this is... I'm not trying to sound rude or anything. But no doubt I will, because it's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
Well, while you think about that, I was going to say, to be fair...
But what did I say? What would you say right before that?
Poor Nico, but he's had his chance to come back.
Because I was checking what date the Australian GP started and I forgot. I don't mean to be rude about this, but I would not ever hire Nico as my reserve driver.
Because he's unlucky?
Yes. Wholeheartedly because of that. Absolutely no other reason.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair on him though, I think he beat Lance in both weekends that he came back.
So what?
So what? That means he still has skill though.
But he's unlucky.
He did P3 in qualifying in Silverstone.
And then DNS'd. Okay. My point stands.
Was it Silverstone?
Yeah, but then he DNS'd. My point stands.
He did DNS, but...
Yeah. He does well, and then it just all terrible.
Never podiumed. It's so painful. How much do you think it crushes his soul?
Every day.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why he comes back all the time.
Just for another chance.
It's actually really sad.
I feel bad because I feel like I'm wearing Aston Martin colors right now.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
I'm wearing...
I should have worn them this next week for when Seb comes back so I could be supportive.
You can wear it again. It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. But yeah.
I was going to wear my red sweatshirt because I was like, Ferrari. For Ferrari. And then I was like, oh, Ferrari didn't win this week.
Yeah. Don't really own any navy blue and yellow. Actually, that's not true. I have a stripy navy blue and yellow shirt. That's true. That would be my Red Bull shirt.
I just have this grayish blue. I don't... Williams?
It's kind of Silver Arrows.
True, Mercedes-ish.
Yeah, your Mercedes. This is a digression, though. So, anything else to...
a bunch of,
basics.
You know how they... What?
Like, basics that are in different colors.
No, you know those logos that they have that are embroidered logos, things that you can buy, like the patches?
Like iron-on patches.
I'm gonna buy a bunch of those and just sew them.
Onto the clothes.
Onto all of my clothes.
Just Petronas.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cheap merch, that's the way to go.
Handmade. Etsy. There you go.
Yep.
Oh my god. Right. This has been an interesting episode. Mm-hmm. Started off with terrorist attack, ended with sewing. There you go. Typical of us.
Classic us.
To end that way.
Expect nothing less.
How did we get here? you'll have to listen to the whole episode. Which, if you got here, I'm sure you have, but there you go.
It's unlikely that you got here.
But yeah, we are loving being back for 2022 F1 season. Mm-hmm. But next week is a non-race week, so we will be coming at you with something different. We'll be coming at you with something different. So expect something probably along the lines of what we've been posting over winter break. Potentially we could do another box office, maybe do the Fangio film or something. Mm-hmm. Now that Ferrari's back, he's...
Ooh, Ferrari's back.
In that
the history
era
of Ferrari. We could cover the McLaren-Ferrari incident scandal.
We could watch Rush.
Rush?
You haven't seen Rush yet.
We'll keep you posted. No, I've not.
Okay, that's the Niki Lauda James Hunt.
We can watch...
You would like it.
Cars.
I would watch Cars. I'm not kidding. I would watch Cars. We could do the Piston Cup, Lightning McQueen, ka-chow. I'm done. You'd like Cars.
They're voiced by actual F1 drivers, so I think it...
That's true. They have cameos in it.
I think it's about relevant.
So. I'm done. They are in the second movie, I believe, not the first one. But
I guess we'll have to do Cars 2. Okay.
We'll do Cars and then we'll do Cars 2 eventually, yeah. But yeah, either way, keep your eyes and ears open for what we do next week. But thank you for listening, guys. We are on social media if you want to reach out and discuss anything that pertains to this episode or previous episodes or what you want us to discuss in future episodes or suggestions for box office episodes or helmet highlights you want us to do. So reach out to us at SpeedTrackPod on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And we have an email address if you have a longer form inquiry or suggestion or anything of that sort that you can put into a DM or a comment. SpeedTrackPod@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And if you're able to donate, we would really appreciate that. So you can head to anchor.fm/speed-trap-pod and hit the donate button. All of that money goes to us to buy equipment and F1 tickets. No, I'm kidding. One day.
Paddock passes.
Paddock passes. Paddock. No, it goes to equipment and renting these movies and all
F1
content
merch.
Too. And merch, those patches we're going to sell on
our clothes. Oh, dear.
And all of that good stuff. And we are hosting Twitter spaces as often as we can. So stay tuned on our social media pages so you can participate in those because those are always fun. And that way we can hear you guys speak instead of us talking the whole time.
Which is preferable, honestly. It's brilliant. We get sick of each other, so...
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Sometimes, but not really. Yeah, so nice. We're like the same person, so it doesn't matter.
We all hate ourselves.
We share the same brain cells, I think.
Exactly.
I mean, just look at our predictions, guys. It's almost entirely identical.
It's true.
And with that being said, have a good week.
Thank you, you too.
I mean, I was talking to the listeners, but you too. No, guys, have a good one. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Thank you for listening to the Speed Trap Podcast.
As always, we appreciate your support.
To stay involved in the conversation, reach out to us on social media at Speed Trap Pod.
Speed Trap's official music was created and produced by Boxed Okami. You can find more of his work on Instagram at Boxed Okami.
See you next week.